For those of you who are cooks or bakers, you'll appreciate this, I think, that sometimes you try out different recipes and then you try to mishmash two recipes together and see how it goes. This sermon is a mishmash of a couple different sermons that I've preached over the years, and so hopefully it'll work. It'll be clear to you where I'm heading with this. So. Our scripture text, actually, I'm going to add a sermon text as well. We're going to look at Psalm 98, the whole thing, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll go to 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9, and then I'll skip over to 1 John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Hear God's word for us this morning. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in a joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the earth with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And skipping over to 1 John, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. The Apostle John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things that are, so that our joy, or your joy, may be complete. Let's pray as we seek God's help in understanding this together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and pray that it will continue to do what it always does. That it'll scrape away the dead places in our hearts and create new life in us. Lord, may your word have its way this morning in our families, in us individually, and even this church, and even this city. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last of the series on basing these sermons around Christmas carols. You know I'm not preaching from the Christmas carol, but I'm kind of using it as a jumping off point and then showing you some texts that inform these carols. Joy of the World is an absolute classic. It's over 300 years old now, written by Isaac Watts in 1718. It's really based upon Psalm 98 that I read earlier, just a little bit, not as much the first three verses, but certainly beginning in verse 4 on. And so what I want to talk about this morning is the topic of joy. And I'm going to meld that, there's that synergy with kind of looking toward a new year and perhaps some thoughts to spur you on to perhaps think or rethink some of the ideas you might have for what you want to do in the upcoming new year. So first, let's look at joy. And I have 3 points on this. Joy is not based on our shifting circumstances, but it's based upon God's character. Joy is not based on our shifting circumstances, but instead on God's character. So that's really, you can really see that in John, in his life. John's joy is in knowing God through Jesus and sharing that with others. That's even, he says that right there in verse 4, does he not? He makes his joy complete by writing to them, talking to them about Jesus. If you think about it, John did not have a very joyful life. He very easily could have been someone that could have been easily embittered. He was a son of thunder, right? Who had seen his brother James martyred, and he wound up being exiled on the island of Patmos, where he wrote Revelation. But despite these hardships, he was filled with joy because despite his changing circumstances, the foundation of his life never changed. God's character was revealed supremely in Jesus. That's the good news about joy. Again, it's not based upon our shifting circumstances. We're always constantly changing, right? Those of us who have health concerns, our health circumstances are always changing. Some of us, our job circumstances are changing. Family circumstances are always changing. We just spend a lot of time with family for better and for maybe less better, right? But it's good to do that because our family circumstances are always changing. But that's the great news about God, is that he is not like shifting sand. He is eternal, and he is steady, and he is for us. And he revealed his character in Jesus. So realize that joy is not based upon whether things are going up for you or down for you. Life is always going to be like that. It's always going to have ups and downs, ups and downs. The good news is that God, through Jesus Christ, he is steady. He is a rock in the best way possible. So that's the first point. Second point is joy is not based on our accomplishments, but on what Jesus has achieved for us. I'm going to borrow a little bit from Christmas here. So this is the difference between pride and joy. Pride comes in confidence in our own work, but joy comes in knowing the work of Jesus counts for you. Right? The shepherds, what did the shepherds hear from the angels? I have good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The birth of Jesus means we don't have to earn God's favor on our own, which is a good thing because such a thing is impossible. And that is the miracle of Christmas, that God has come to us, that we didn't have to come to him. And in Jesus and his work for us is a solution for all our greatest problems, right? If God thought that we needed a computer program, he would have sent us one. If he thought if he needed a new vehicle, he would have sent us one. But he sent us an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He sent us his son. And in him is a solution to all our greatest problems. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Joy is not based upon our accomplishments, but on what Jesus has achieved for us. And then finally, for joy is not based upon our uncertain future, but the future Jesus has secured for us. Joy is not based on our uncertain future, but on the future that Jesus has secured for us. So we wisely take time to save our money, right? We take care of our 401ks and our 403bs and so on and so forth. We make plans for our future. But in Christ, we have a future that no one can take away from us, right? If you look to the very back of the Bible, it's Revelation chapter 21. Gosh, I read this almost every Sunday. I'm going to read it again. It's so good. Revelation chapter 21. You all probably know these words very well, as well as I do. This is your future if you're in Christ. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. The market fluctuates. Politics, from the mayor's office all the way to the presidency, changes, influences our direction. But there is one king, there is one who was declared king at his birth. He is Christ the Lord. And what he did for us on the cross and at the empty tomb will bring us into this amazing future that John has shown us. Joy is not based upon our uncertain future, but on the future Jesus has secured for us. That's really exciting. So just to reflect on this, and this is probably where I'm mishmashing a little bit here with Christmas. If you really have to have New Year's resolutions, and some of you are really into that and some of you are not, that's okay. Here's the first one for you. Rest in his work for you. If you need a New Year's resolution this morning, here it is. Rest in what God has done for you. Rest. I really couldn't help but think about Psalm 46 when I was preaching this to myself this morning. Let me read that for us. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Some of you have felt that way this past year. You've had illness hit you. You've had financial issues. You've had family issues, all kinds of things. The mountains probably feel like they are trembling. But I'm here to tell you there's good news. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. And by the way, he could break F-15s in half too, by the way. And break anything. He burns the chariots with fire. Now here's the kicker. After all this is said, this is what God wants his people to do. Be still and know that I am God. Cease striving would be another translation. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We could mold Christmas and New Year's together. That's Psalm 46. And so if you must have a resolution, if you must do something this year for yourself, then here it is. Don't do anything. Rest. Rest and contemplate what God has done for you in Christ. Slow down. Take time to spend time in the scriptures, to pray, to seek out prayer and Bible study with other Christians. We have 4 or 5 different small groups now. We have a men's group and a women's group and a couple different mixed groups. There are opportunities for you in this church to go deeper than just what we do on Sunday mornings. So take the time, if you can, take the time to do that, to rest in what God has done for us. Number 2, rest in his work for you, because I have to say it twice. Same thing. I'm being redundant. Number 3, as you rest, fashion your life as a new song to God. And this is where we get to Joy of the World and Psalm 98. Psalm 98 and verse 4 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord all the earth. Break forth into joyous songs and sing praises. Then he goes on to say, sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, with the sound of the melody, with trumpets and a horn. In other words, men and women are going to make joyful noises. It's a time to write a new song. But even the creation is going to sing. Verse 7, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Join in with the psalmist and write a new song. Write a new song in your heart to God. Or better yet, fashion your life as a song to God. Make yourself an arrow pointing to him. Fashion your life as a new song to God. I'm a terrible song singer. I was told once that it all sounds the same when it gets to heaven. I think that was just a lie in order to encourage me to sing, which is fine. I'm good at some other things. But songwriting sounds exciting. And to make my life an object of worship before God, that sounds like something that I would really like to take on this year. But of course, in order to do that, you got to do what first? Rest. Rest in his work. And then joy comes after that. Then finally, the last thing I would say is, and perhaps one of the ways in which you can fashion your life as a new song to God, is to share Jesus with others. Share Jesus with others. When I say that, instantly all your radar goes up or your shields go up and you say, that's evangelism, that's hard. I'm not talking about evangelism per se. I'm just saying share Jesus with others. Share Jesus with the child in your lap. Share Jesus with your husband or sister or brother or whatever. Have him on your lips. Explain to those that don't know him about how you look at things in your life. Just be honest. and share Jesus with others in terms of discipleship and, yeah, in terms of evangelism. Isn't that, again, what Psalm 98 is all about? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. We know even better than the psalmist because we live on the other side of the cross. We know what the psalmist really means. The Lord has made known his salvation. That means Jesus. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth shall have seen the salvation of our God. And we are the ones that get to carry that song. We are the ones that get to do that. So the recipe was mishmashed. I knew this would be a short sermon this morning. I hope you forgive me for that. We'll go back to the book of Acts next week. But for now, just realize that we ought to sing in the new year, joy to the world, the Lord has come. May all of us receive our King. And that makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. And yet, Lord, we're exhausted. It's an exhausting time. So, Lord, help us to look towards the future, to look toward this year, and help us to rest, to put down our troubles, to put down our sorrows, to put down our strivings, to put down, Lord, our self-help religion. And, Lord, help us instead to rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to rest and then to share in that rest with others so you'd be glorified and exalted. Lord, do your work in our church in this upcoming year. There's so much to talk about, so much to do. So Lord, first help us to just rest, to spend time with you. And out of that, Lord, may you speak to us as we try to make our church as a living song of praise to our God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.